The trigger warning list that the Smutty Book Club is giving you that was not included in this book, this is just made up by us, so it is what it is murder, violence.
Shitty parents.
That's not a trigger warning. That's in every book. That's in every, that's my life. No, I'm just kidding. JK. Lots of murder.
Murder.
All the murder.
Murder's murder.
Knives, knife play, obviously. Welcome to another installment of March Madness,
Yeah.
where we slowly go mad ourselves.
I have to say, the kind of dark this book was, I was
Was not
super
what I
into
was
it.
expecting.
It was like true crimey dark,
Yeah, it
not
wasn't what
like
I was
dark dark.
expecting.
And
Yeah.
I was fully here for it the whole time. There were parts that I wish we had more of, but we'll get there.
I have my pros and my cons. This was not what I was expecting. I'm not mad about it.
Neither am I. I was
I
expecting
will.
to be crying in a corner like I came so close to last week with Never Let Go. But here we are.
This week, however, we read Playing with Knives by A.J. Merlin. Playing
Not
with
as much
Knives.
knife play as I was thinking there was going to
Expecting
be.
with Playing with Knives. No. But the dedication to this book is for everyone who loves the bad guys a little too much. Just like I do. Just like I do. So I was into it.
Trying to see if there was a trigger warning list anywhere, and there is not
Schmurder
none.
and knife play.
Yep, and violent things.
All the violent things.
Just think
All the violent
mafia,
things.
and you're good.
Insert mafia trigger list here.
Congratulations, you win.
You're a winner.
What do you win? Us talking about it.
You win us.
That's probably not a great prize. We should offer those something different. Can I interest you in stickers? I
Only
make
$2.
stickers.
I don't know what going rate for
I literally
stickers. I
actually
don't know
have
what that
no
was.
idea.
I
I
have
haven't
zero
thought about
idea.
selling them yet, but we'll get there.
I have no idea. If you would like to donate to the sticker fund, you will get a free sticker.
We're gonna start up a fund. Don't worry. We have bills to pay for the podcast.
You will get all of Crystal's experimental stickers when you donate to the sticker fund as a thank you.
Yeah, I'll do it. That's fine.
Anywho,
Let's continue with this.
Playing with Knives starts out with our female main character, Willow Carlyle, which she prefers the name Will. She does not like her full name, Willow. She likes Will. And Will is greeted by an officer at her front door. She's super concerned, though, and she starts panicking because she's like, oh God, he knows that I broke into Mrs. Clutterbutter's house while she was away on vacation and stole her remote batteries. And she's
I lost it. The
panicking.
batteries.
Will is a little bit of a klepto.
A little?
Okay, a little bit, I mean a lot. Will is a self-proclaimed klepto. And she is very concerned that this officer is here at her door to arrest her for her thievery. And she's like, that's it. Out of all the things I've stolen in life, hell, the last things I stole in the last month, I was going to jail for batteries. She has a thing for batteries, just, you know, saying.
Listen, I
We
get
all have
it.
our
I
things.
feel like batteries is probably the thing to like to steal because not everyone's going to realize that their house was broken into when you steal them.
She gets excited, the thrill of the theft.
The thrill of the
And
batteries.
yes, batteries are not something easily noticed. And it's not something that people would automatically assume someone broke into your house and stole battery for.
Yeah, what I just said.
It's just so funny.
It kills me. It's fucking
It,
hysterical.
and she feels like it's a little like just little stab at people, like, suckers, now you don't have your batteries. So yeah, this officer is not here for her battery thefts. However, he has some questions regarding her roommate, Ashley. Like the last time she's seen her, blah, blah, blah. And then unfortunately, he informs Will that Ashley was found dead and she was found washed up on the shore of the river. Yeah, that's how
starts
this book
off
starts
real
out.
dark, kids.
It's 2 weeks in a row where we just dive right in.
This one just starts with murder. So
We don't have a problem with that.
actually, you know what? The last one started with murder too.
I
Little
mean,
murder.
you know, fun times had by all. So she's having a hard time processing this, you know. She's a little bit of an oddball. We get that quite from the get-go. And while she's having kind of a little mental, I don't want to call it a breakdown because it's not a full breakdown, but like a mental moment. I'm going to call it a mental moment. While she's having a little bit of a mental moment, she gets a call from work, her legitimate work, because she has two types of work, you know, her klepto side job and her real work. And they want her to come in early. She works at an animal shelter. She jumps at the chance to go in early, take her mind off things. The animal shelter is her happy place. Awesome sauce. And she stops on her way for coffee. Now, we learn a little bit about the town that she lives in. This is a hole in the wall, middle of nowhere town. Nothing ever happens here. The population is very small. Everybody knows everyone. Everyone knows everyone's business.
There
The
is a
fact,
total of one bar, and there hasn't been a murder in 30 years in this town.
there's one restaurant, one like cafe, and that's basically makes up the entire town, which actually has more than my town. So good for you, lady. Good for you. We don't even have a police station, so good
They have
job.
a police station, so at least they've
Yes.
got that going for
They've
them.
got, yeah. Anyway, awesome. This town is super duper small. So she goes to the little coffee shop, cafe place to stop for coffee. And while she's there, there's some strangers there. That's weird.
Yeah, because no one visits this town.
This is not a tourist destination. This is not a place you go to.
I have to say,
The only
her.
like touristy thing that they have is like a campsite that like the locals don't even use.
It's
Like,
just
this
so
is not a
funny
place where
because,
people just
like,
come to.
her responses are so fucking funny when she's like, I don't even want to be here. Like, why are these people here? I don't even want to be here.
And she's like, what the fuck? Why are these strangers here? Now we have a murder, and now we have four fucking strangers sitting in our coffee shop. This is getting stranger and stranger.
I'm drinking wine, baby, so we're good.
What is a petty thief who literally only steals to get her glee on going to do when some strange men randomly show up on the day that the town got its first murder in like 30 years? Of course, she's going to try to pickpocket one of these strangers.
Here's my thing with her throughout this whole book. The only thing I could think of is she really thinks she's a really good thief.
And
I
she's
don't think she's
not.
not.
She's
She's
not.
really,
She's so oblivious.
she thinks that she's so sneaky. And
So obvious.
maybe the town is just stupid or looks the
So,
other
like I said,
way.
I live in a very small town. And if it's anything like mine, I'm just saying.
Because
Small town people sometimes. I mean, sometimes, you know.
she's talking about all these things. I'm like, dude, you're not stealthy. How
This is like hey
have you
pal.
gotten this far with not getting arrested yet? Anyway, sorry, I was getting ahead of myself.
So she picks this man's wallet out of his pocket so that she could see his license. And his license says Lysander Ashford. And says he's 28 years old and he's from Chicago. And she, oh, sir, you dropped this. And we learn these strangers' names. We have Lysander, Azriel, Nico, and Reese. And while Nico and Reese are pretty standoffish, Azriel and Lysander kind of chat her up a little bit about the wallet situation. And they make a big deal about what a good deed she did picking up his dropped wallet. That, like, I don't think anyone in that cafe at this point could believe that she's a good pickpocket. Like, it
Kind of being
wasn't.
just over the top about it.
Yeah, and it's dripping with like
Sarcasm.
kinda.
It's like not overt sarcasm, but like
It's
she thinks they're being genuine. They're
right.
not.
Anywho, she finds out that they are staying in town. And she's like, what the fuck? Like, nobody stays here kind of thing. Right. Why? Like, and that they've rented an Airbnb. You can do that here? Like, what the fuck? And they you know, they rented it out.
Solid question. Like,
dude, if somebody told me they rented an Airbnb in my town too, I would probably be like, fucking excuse me. So, I mean.
Why are you here? Are you running from the law? Are you trying to hide?
Honestly, if anybody is running from the law, I have a great place for you to hide.
Let's not tell people that.
I have a place where there's no cops. I have a place. People are dumb as rocks.
No, okay, listen. Do not listen to her, guys. You will get in trouble.
I own a shovel. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding.
You're just kidding.
Okay. You got to give me a finder's fee.
We do not condone illegal activities.
No, not at all. Anywho, she goes off to work. So she works at the animal shelter. When she gets there, like half the employees are outside trying to wrangle these dogs inside because some fucking douchebag shit canoes had dropped off their dogs in front of the animal shelter and just tied them to a pole out there to just like surrender them. So now they're trying to get these poor dogs that have been left overnight tied to a pole, trying to wrangle them inside. And, you know, she's the one who's able to do it, yada, yada. Then once she gets kind of inside and everything, when everyone realizes kind of what's going on and calms down a little bit, they're able to hear a little bit of the news that's playing on the TV. They're like, what the fuck? Why are you here? Go home. Like, they realize what happened. And so she's sent home. So she stops for food at the restaurant. There's only one restaurant.
Numb inside too from the whole thing.
I think she's just numb inside in general, but you know, that's my opinion.
She 100% is. And she like thinks that she should be feeling more things than she's feeling.
I can relate.
Which that should have been probably a sign. Ariel, we need to get you checked. Just saying.
If anybody needs directions,
get out of here. We cannot stop.
So yeah, she stops at the restaurant on her way home for dinner to get something to eat because, again, the restaurant, because there's one restaurant in town. Mm-hmm. And oh, look, it's the same group of strangers sitting at the restaurant.
Oh, man.
And she decides to order like takeout and like just try to get out of there so that she doesn't have to have anything to do with them, but they spot her and, you know, like, hey, you can stay and eat with us. And she's like, nah. Get my food to go. And then they all kind of crowd around her and they're like, your name's Will, right? And all of a sudden they know her name. So she's uncomfortable and doesn't really know what to say to these people. So she's like, any marriage proposals yet? Which totally throws them off. So fair point. Excuse me? Marriage proposals. We don't get a lot of new faces around here. So, you know, the eligible Sheffield ladies don't let handsome men escape them without a ring on their finger. And they're like,
I mean, no. She's got a point though, because if you live in a town where that's not a thing. Are you kidding me?
Okay. I need to stop getting off topic. But like,
what now?
When we had our new hire day at my school, I shit you not, this district made us all get on a fucking school bus so we could tour the town together. And the lady I sat with was telling me about where the fucking men who were like halfway decent looking lived.
Was it 100 miles in the other direction?
It was like that one, but he's married, and then this one, and then it was like,
oh my god,
it was a whole thing. And I was like, so you just know where everyone like lives that you find attractive? Yes, that's a thing. Yes, and they all expect you to know where everyone lives. It's just a thing, even if you just got here. I don't know where anything is anyway. So
we're never getting through this book.
No, this is a poor decision. You said it. Here. So one of the men, Azriel, is talking to her. Him and Lysander are talking to her now. And Azriel's kind of like, not much to do around here, is there? And she's kind of like, no, that's why no one comes to visit. Hello. Lysander's kind of like, well, then why stay? And they're kind of like, well, does anything interesting happen around here? Small towns have the best secrets. And she's like, nothing interesting ever happens here. And nonchalantly, Nico steps in and he's all like, well, when was the last time you guys had some kind of violent crime? Suddenly interested in the conversation. And she's kind of like, I don't know, a while. We're true crime junkies. And he's just like, a while? She's like, I don't know. I'm not watching our crime stats before today. How long has it been since someone was killed before today? And she's like, how did you? Because you just told me. She's like, fuck. In her head, she's like, something was wrong. I knew somehow that these men knew something about Ashley's death. Maybe they were involved. You know, like, I don't know, but like, something's going on. Like, I don't know what you're looking for, but nothing ever happens here. It's just a shitty town full of shitty people, and I'm a terrible tour guide. And she's busting out of there. So they gave her that creepy vibe. So she needs some more info from them. So she decides to do what she thinks she does best. She decides to break into their Airbnb. Because she's real good at that, guys.
She's really fucking not.
She, you know, checks things out. All she really finds going through their stuff is that Nico and Reese are sharing a room at the Airbnb and that she sees their passports, so that now we know their last names, but it's not really relevant to this, so I'm not telling you, so suck it. You can read the book if you haven't already. Sorry, not sorry. Anyhoosies. So then, with them in her hand, the boys come home. The boys are back at home. The boys are back at home. Crystal's getting more booze. She's pouring it all out. So, yeah. So she hides because she doesn't want to get caught, obviously. But
out in the back on the porch, like,
they clearly fucking know that she's there.
Yeah.
And they're talking all around her.
What's his name?
Lysander.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah. And they're talking all around her where she's hiding. And it's just ridiculous.
But Lysander is standing like right there inside the door. Like, he hasn't gone fully into the house yet. Like,
so weird.
And he's kind of just like, why are you just standing there? Come in the house, blah, blah, blah. He also like looks over into her direction. This woman.
And then he leaves and she's all like, phew, that was close. And scramble out there. I can't believe I didn't get caught.
She does a lot of eye-rolly things. I liked her though, but she did so many eye-rolly things.
So she stops yet again for coffee. So this lady has stopped for food 3 times now today. I just want to be aware. You know, she's so hard up for money because she has such a low-paying job at the animal shelter. She probably shouldn't be stopping for food 3 times in one day. Just saying, maybe we'll get
so
there.
So does she that not her bitch get of to a eat mother at all?
Might have a concept of her financial irresponsibility. She should probably go to the grocery store. She should probably go to the grocery store.
I mean, what she wants to stalk these people. Why would she go to the grocery store? She doesn't have time.
She just left their house. She knows where they are.
It's now late, though.
But she should have had groceries at her house already.
Her roommate just got murdered.
And that means her groceries didn't disappear. She found out this morning.
Right. Why are we harping on her food?
I was harping. Why are you feeling so sensitive about what I feel about this character on a book page? Let me hate on her if I want to hate on her.
She had to eat 3 times this day. That is too many times.
No, 3 times out, like, financially irresponsibly. I'm just saying, like, dude, you steal for a living.
I'm pretty sure.
Maybe you shouldn't.
She probably didn't pay for half of this food.
That's what I'm saying. She steals for a living. Maybe spend your stolen money wisely.
Let the lady eat out 3 times a day if she wants to. Let her live, man.
Just saying, she could be more responsible, that's all.
Couldn't we all?
Yes. Anyways.
So, we're never getting through this fucking book.
Okay. So yeah, so she stops at the cafe for coffee again.
Coffee is a necessity. You can go fuck yourself. I also would do the same thing.
Before she heads home. It was, you know, it was really stressful.
Sneaking around and trying and being so sneaky because she's so sneaky.
You know, she's rewarding herself on her way home, you know. And
for a job well done.
There's these seasonal men that kind of are townies but aren't townies. They are part of the town because they're not actually strangers, but they're not actually from the town. And now that she's thinking about it, wait a minute. They're originally from Chicago. That's weird because those boys are from Chicago too. That's weird.
Yeah, these two guys, they only come to town every so often because their grandfather passed them down the property that they have. And it's a weird time for them to be here too, because it's like storming and they don't typically come to town during the season when it storms. So it's kind of
usually seasonal. So they usually come during specific seasons of the town.
Just like definitely not the stormy ones.
Yeah.
She loves storms, by the way. We hear it a lot.
So they're here at the wrong time of year and they see her and it kind of like lights up their eyes a little bit because they're like, oh, we can talk about what happened. He looks at her and he's like, a real shame about that girl, Ashley. And she's just fucking, excuse me? That was her name, right? So his name's Donald, this guy that's talking to her. It's Donald and
it's another D
David.
Name.
Donald and David are the men's names.
I have not met a single really good David.
David, sir. Ew, David.
Ew. You know what, though? That David, great David. Every other David's terrible.
Because that's not a real David.
That is true.
Yes. So Donald is all like, I can't believe what happened. My friend at the police station said she'd been stabbed. So first of all,
no one has said that she's been stabbed.
Nobody on the news, not the police officer that talked to her when he was giving her details. Nobody. So now this random ass man knows details about this girl's death. And she's like,
that's
fuck?
A little sus, baby.
Like, what the fuck? So she's not feeling great. And Mosey's on home.
Okay. Can I just state, listen. When I was reading it, I honestly forgot that it was a romance book for a while. And I was perfectly fine with it. I was reading it and I was like, I feel like it's going to fuck it up. I'm like into the story part of this and like, whatever. And then the stuff happened at like 70%. And I was like,
50, but yeah.
The good stuff happened later on. Like,
yeah.
Let's be honest.
I think the first time she banged Spencer, was 50%.
Yeah.
But yeah. But I noticed because I looked and I was like,
I was not expecting it to take whatever direction it went in, because like I thought they were going to drag out the whole Ashley story a lot longer than they did. I was not ready for that because I read it and was like, where do we go from here? We're at like 30%. What the fuck is going on? And then more stuff happened.
So I will get on my soapbox and rant.
I'll get on my soapbox later about the fact that the MM stuff that I was expecting was in the epilogue.
Yeah, and it was such a, yeah. Anywho, I have a whole rant about that also, but I meant in response to like what you're saying. I felt like personally, a good chunk of this book could have been edited out and it still would have been fucking fantastic and would have read more efficiently and cleaner and better. So, take two.
It's a continuation, okay?
We can pretend like it didn't happen.
Nah, I'm cool with letting everyone know what happened.
Please excuse the interruption.
We had some technical difficulties with our brain.
We were going off the rails a little too much. And while that is amusing to us all the time,
it was bad.
We sat there for like 2 hours and got about 15 minutes into this episode. And we could not quiet our brains. So 12 hours later, here we are, ready to begin again. Ready to start again.
Oh, I was going Taylor Swift begin again, but okay, that works too.
Go for it, Crystal. Go.
No, it's okay. I'm going to put more sausage in my mouth.
Uh-huh. Yeah, she is.
I said it that way specifically for you.
That's not even funny because I can't segue into that to the depressing, sad mom showing up at the door that we're about to talk about.
You know who doesn't have sausage in her mouth right now?
Oh my God.
The main character of this book.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's probably pretty sad about it, honestly. I mean,
I'm pretty happy. And it's spicy sausage, too.
Ooh. Is it Italian sausage?
I have no idea. It's Jimmy Dean.
It's a little Polish sausage.
I'm done. Okay. We can't continue what happened yesterday.
No.
Put this off for another 12 hours.
So, continuing on with Playing with Knives by AJ Merlin.
12 hours did nothing.
Actually,
Except
in our story,
tired.
In our story, it is also the next day.
We did it on purpose, you guys. We are
Yeah, we
living
wanted to
the
be
book.
method actors. Don't come for us when the schmilling starts.
When the unaliving starts.
When the unaliving
We
starts.
didn't do it.
It wasn't us.
It was those other people.
He had it coming. He only had himself to blame. Will, the next morning, is sleeping. She likes to sleep a lot. She's lazy.
So are we going to go with that people who like to sleep a lot are also lazy?
Dude, the boys give her such a hard time throughout this whole book. She just sleeps the day away. She just waits
so
her whole
Ariel
day.
Does too. So
she
I would do the same
her
thing.
Whole day.
Sounds great. Sounds like a great time. She's sleeping the day away because she's being a thief at
she's
night.
A thief
That's
all
why.
Night.
So she's not even sleeping at night. She's being a quote-unquote
She's nocturnal.
Thief. She's like a raccoon. But raccoons are better thieves. Actually, you know what? You know the raccoons are thieving from you, so she is a raccoon.
The trash
story.
Panda.
That's it.
Will is a trash panda. That's all you need to know about this book. Okay, thanks, bye. So, yes, Will is sleeping the day away, and she's woken up by a knock at the door. And at the door is Ashley's grieving mother. She's there to gather some of Ashley's things. Will finds this situation incredibly awkward. Will has no social or people skills, and she just kind of blurts out at her, "I heard she was stabbed." And that's what she blurts out to this grieving fucking mother whose child just literally was stabbed. So that's awesome. So this is where we find out that she was more than stabbed, because Ashley's mother, you know, bubbles up with tears and admits that she was stabbed, cut, burned, like maimed, you name it. Everything basically was done to this poor girl.
And Ashley was like the nicest fucking person.
Yeah.
Ever.
Right. Neither one of them can fathom how this could have happened to her. And I know that's not how it works. No, everyone understands how that's not how this works. But Will feels incredibly guilty throughout a lot of this book, because you have this like really pure human who tries their best to help everyone every chance they get and is very kind and goes out of their way to just spread kindness and be kind to everyone and helps Will in so many ways. And she ends up being washed up on the side of a river, where Will is literally a self-proclaimed klepto and sleeps
not
the
a good
day away
person
and is just not nice to anyone and gets to fucking be alive and well. And she
it's
just has that survivor's guilt.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it's an incredibly awkward encounter. Will does not do social situations well. She basically is like, there's her room. I got to go to work. Peace out, Girl Scout. Bye-bye. And needs to get out of there and needs to extract herself from all that awkwardness. Yeah. As Crystal would give us the sound effect.
I could probably find one.
We don't need one. I was just going with your hand gesture.
I haven't done sound effects in so long. So be
you can
happy.
Save those for specials. So she heads to work. She's just not actually scheduled to work because, you know, work sent her home. But she goes to volunteer to walk the dogs there. They can't turn away volunteers, don't you know? But she mentions that she barely notices the details of her drive to the Humane Society. And I just want to make note that she has said these words like two or three times thus far in this book. And the fact that she doesn't notice is spelled out is pretty like, hey, somebody's watching you. So I want everyone else to know that obviously people have eyes on her. So she goes to take those dogs that she was able to wrangle the previous day into the new dogs that were dropped off. She takes those dogs for a walk. And everyone's like, oh, you're going to take those both by yourself? Like, because they're big dogs. And, oh, you're so brave kind of thing. And she's like, I got these guys. Like, she's Miss Super Lady with the dogs, apparently. I mean, she just treats them like they're
good animals. Like, and they're
right.
So beautiful. And they're these beautiful shepherds. And I just like, I want them, like, want one. You're so cute. I'm trying to talk Spencer into letting me get a dog. It's not going well.
It's not
They're
going
so
well.
Cute. Yeah, she treats them like she should treat an animal nicely.
She took them for a walk through the cemetery. It's one of her favorite places to take dogs for a walk. And weird, what a coinky dink. Guess who's also at the cemetery? It's the strangers.
Yeah, but they didn't follow her there. They were already there.
Right. She's bumping into them again.
But yes, a coincidence.
Just run into them everywhere in this little hoedink town.
It's a tiny ass town. She could probably spit and it would land on one of them.
And she's basically like, what kind of normal tourists go to a local cemetery? Like, this is weird. And so, you know, obviously they see her and come up to her. And as Azrael's all like, are those your dogs? She, you know, no, they're from the Humane Society. It's my job. Like, she's walking them. I want them. Like, and Lysander's like, well, what's your real job? And she's like, that is my real job.
He's like, you can't sell me. The Humane Society pays you enough to pay your rent.
Right.
Because I think they know someone who works.
He says, I had a friend who volunteered at a shelter in Chicago. He told me that employees barely make enough to cover extra expenses, let alone a 2-bedroom apartment, and buy coffee all the time. It's direct quote.
I wasn't going to say anything like that. I was going to say something else, but thank you.
You looked at me.
No, I was going to say it's
and
funny.
And she starts freaking out because she's like, going. How does he know
that she lives in a 2-bedroom apartment?
Exactly. And he's like, well, maybe I broke in while you were sleeping last night, kind of thing. And she's like freaking out more. And he's like, I'm only kidding. Who does that? Who breaks in just to go through people's bags? Who would do such a thing? And
certainly not her.
No, but he says it very clearly. And they're all like, no, I want the dogs. How can I get the dogs? Azrael's like very firm, like, how could I get the dogs? And Reese is like, we don't need dogs. Enough. And Azrael just, he won't let it drop. He goes, no, Uncle thinks we need dogs. And who the fuck's Uncle, first of all? Like, that's kind of weird. I mean, you know, we know that
now. We know now. Yeah. But even when they were like continuously talking about it, I was like, fuck's Uncle? Why right. know this person?
And she's just basically like, this is where the animal shelter is. You can go fill out a form if you want the fucking dogs. Thank you and goodbye. Like, this Best whole response. Conversation is like making her uncomfortable. And she tries to leave and Lysander all like whispers in her ear. I promise I left all your things where I found them. I didn't make that much noise when I came into your apartment. I didn't take you
for a bunny girl.
For a stuffed bunny girl. And she is like, yeah, and gets the fuck out of there. Later that night, or the next day, I don't even know, whatever. The next time we see her, next time we see Will.
It's a construct weird. That we don't have to follow.
In this book. The next time we see Will, she is working her side job.
She's stealing.
Yeah. She is worried about making rent now that she doesn't have a roommate to kind of pick up her very big slack. And she's like, how can
I? Not even that, but then her rent basically doubles.
Absolutely. And she wasn't even making her half to begin with. Yeah. So now she's like, what the fuck? I have to really increase my thievery.
And I'll steal more batteries.
So she goes to this house that she's been wanting to hit for a while, but she's kind of been hesitant to do so. And yeah, she takes a bunch of cash and all the batteries she can. And she gets a good backpack worth. And then, you know, to reward herself for a job well done, she once again stops for food because, as she says, she still hasn't been adult enough to go grocery shopping yet. I have notes.
Keep going. So talk about how much you hate the main character and the fact she doesn't grocery shop. Tell us how you really feel about women, Arya.
So she stops for food at a restaurant, at the restaurant in town, to get some food. And it's very busy. So she decides to order takeout, but she doesn't get up to the counter to do so because, da-da-da-da-da, imagine that. The strangers are sitting there at the table and she hears them talking. So she stops around the corner to eavesdrop and listen to what they are saying. And they start changing the tune of their conversation to the point where it's obvious they know somebody's listening and are making it extra juicy just because someone's listening. So of course, Lysander goes around the restaurant and comes up behind her and catches her because They're not idiots and they're not new to this
No, and he's like, you know, it's not
game.
really nice to eavesdrop on people.
No. So this is when we learn that, duh, their Airbnb had cameras in it and he saw her the entire
The best
time.
part is that the cameras go directly to their phone and they're
Well,
motion
yeah.
censored.
Like
And so
most
they.
people these days. Like,
Oh, man,
and
it was
why
funny.
she wouldn't think of that. Like, it's just crazy.
Because
Because in her
honestly,
small town,
think
yeah.
be in the mindset of not everyone has that access.
I know.
And
But
they're.
she doesn't only thieve in her small town. She does go into the surrounding counties, but still,
Doesn't matter.
it's just crazy.
To her, it doesn't
So
matter.
she outright asks him, like, did you kill Ashley?
I
Like,
mean,
and he
it's a
says
good
no.
question.
And she's like, I need to know what happened to her. It's not fair that she was killed. It isn't right. And he's like, neither is breaking into our house. Like, and he's kind of forceful and like not happy with her. And it just, she's super freaked out by the situation and she leaves without getting food
I mean,
and
he
without
has
ordering.
every right to be. He just
Oh,
met this woman
absolutely.
and she's being annoying. He also wants to really fuck her, but that's besides the point.
Also, yes. So she didn't get her food. So she's still hungry. She stops in at the cafe, which is starting to close up. And luckily, Marianne, the cafe owner, is still there. And she ends up giving her like the like leftovers from the day and like be on your way kind of thing.
You know, it's
And
so funny because she has made so many comments about the fact that Marianne doesn't like her, and yet Marianne does so many nice things for her.
yeah.
And like all I could think
She
of
just
was, girl.
associates because Marianne like knows and is like
Oh, I know.
associated with her mom, so
But
she just
it's just so
assumes, I
funny to me
think.
how much
Yeah.
she's like, Marianne
She
doesn't
has
like
no
me.
social skills.
No, she doesn't.
No social skills.
And no thieving skills either.
She leaves the cafe and notices this black truck in the parking lot. And it's weird because the cafe is closing. She just left and she should have been the last one out. Marianne was kind of closing up behind her. And the black truck seems to not have anybody in it, which is also really weird. And she's kind of nosy. It's her favorite pastime is to be nosy. And in the back of the truck, she notices this bloody sweater that is identical to one that she has seen Ashley wear before. And it freaks her the fuck out. And she goes to get her phone to take a picture of it and the license plate. And she is startled from behind. And it is David, who one of those seasonal people that we had talked about before, and he's like, are you okay? Like, I saw my brother's truck. This is Donald's truck. And I just thought I'd stop by. He's been kind of weird lately. And I just wanted to check on him, kind of thing.
Sure, you did.
And he kind of saw what she was looking at in the back of the truck. And he's like, oh, Donald, what did you do? And then she kind of looks back
He
at the
played it
store.
up so
Oh,
hard.
yeah. And he's like, is Marianne in there? And she's like, I'll call the police. And he's like, I already did. Let's go check on Marianne. She's like, I'll wait here for the police. You go check on Marianne. And he goes to go inside the store and she gets this like crazy ass feeling and she's like, fuck this shit. And she tries to get in her car to get the fuck out of there. And her keys aren't in her car anymore. And she's like, what the fuck? And all of a sudden, Donald is in the back seat of her car and lights
The
out
only
for her.
time she listens to her actual feelings.
Lights out for her. So she's woken up in the woods. She's
Fuck
kind of,
all of that.
yeah,
Just fuck that
she's
shit.
just woken up alone in the middle of the woods and
No
she's kind of like,
thanks.
what the fuck? Right. And the moon is different in the sky, like lower than it was. So she can tell that she's been out for a while. Like she thinks it's night again. Not only is she in the middle of the woods, but she's surrounded by this tall fence with all this barbed wire, like caged in like an animal. And she's like, what the fuck? All of a sudden, she hears a noise and it's Azrael. Azrael's there too. And he also has just woken up from being there.
Sure, Jam.
Nobody believes him. Sorry.
I believed him for a very brief period of time. And then I was like, no, this isn't actually happening. I believed
nothing that came out of his mouth in this moment. I was, yeah.
I love this man, though.
I actually love that you believed him for a hot minute because
for like
that
3 seconds.
That probably made you like into it like way more of this moment.
I seriously, the whole mystery portion of this was amazing. And I was so here for it. But I like those kinds of books.
So they kind of hustle into a little area because they can hear footsteps and like go up against a tree and hide. And it's Donald and David walking by, or there's one of them. I don't remember which one. So whatever. One of them is talking to the other one on a walkie-talkie. So they're both kind of there. And they're basically like, you need to find her kind of thing. And they're very careful to use the word her. So weird, Asriel. Shouldn't they be looking for you too, biatch? No, they're not. So
there's a lot of things he does that she's like, wait a second, this doesn't make... She should have known, like...
Oh, absolutely. And they're all like, oh, she probably went to the garage. Because there's this big garage area that's like lit up. And she was like, I'm not fucking going there. I'm going to go try to go towards the entrance area. Like a smart human for a half a second of her life. But then they overhear that and Asriel's like, oh no, now we got to go to the garage. She's kind of like, the fuck? And he's kind of like, you can go towards the entrance and I'll catch up. And she's like, oh, I'll go with you. We're safe in numbers kind of thing. She can also tell by the fact that they were only looking for, quote, her, unquote, that something also sketchy is kind of going on. But that would make me not want to be near him.
Thank you. I would be like, okay, personally. Bye.
Yeah. I'm right?
Peace I'm out, Girl bitch. Scout. Thank you.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
She's not the smartest.
Yep. No. So they get up to the garage and they're kind of peeking in the window and she steps on like a pile of glass and she realizes that this could be a decent weapon because she's like, doesn't trust Asriel either at this point. So she puts this giant glass shard in the band of her pants and they kind of go looking inside and Asriel's, this is like clearly this is a detective's wet dream. Like, this is so, it's clearly a murder cave, but he's kind of like mocking about it. He's like, how pathetic that your town never found this.
I mean, like, he's got a point.
Yes, but he changes his tune real fast. And she's kind of like, good thing I have a weapon kind of thing. And he just finds the whole thing hilarious. And she does not find any of it hilarious. All of a sudden, Donald and David come in. Oh, how did you get in here? Bitch, really? The beacon of light in the middle of this fucking murder woods. How do you think they got in here? This open door. Because freaking murder is an open door. Just kidding. And surprise, Asriel lied. He wasn't kidnapped. He just snuck in. Whoa. And he's all like taunting the men. He's like, you're sloppy.
I mean, lying?
No. And Donald is all like, when David went to go kind of after him, he's like, no, don't go near him.
No, don't touch me there.
He's like, don't go near him. You know what he is. Where there's one, there's three more.
I'm sorry. And I know what you are.
This is not my fault today. I'm just pointing that out.
No, it's mine fully. I told this is mornings, baby. It's been a while since we've done a morning, so you're welcome.
So, yep, surprise. In comes Lysander, ready to rock. He's got this bat covered in, like, nails, looking like a stabby stab thing. I don't know. It's something. And he's swinging it around, and he goes after David, and David, you know, goes for his gun, and he's like, try it if you think you're faster. Like, I will. And he's like, good. I'll cut something off if you do. And so David does, like a fucking idiot. And of course, they swoop in and shoop, two of his fingers off. That escalated quickly. Like, whoop. So here comes Reese and coming right up to the back of Will, Like, you should have gone to the gate and stay here while I decide what to do with you, because now you're involved in this mess and now you're a witness. Like, we gotta figure out what to do here. And she's like, I didn't do anything. That's not how it works. Now hush and wait your turn, Willow.
You know shit's serious when they call her by her full name.
So Lysander finishes off David while Donald decides to take that distraction and go for Will. And Will is startled by this, and she can't help but like reflexively take the glass shard that she now has gripped in her hand because she's scared and thrust it up in between them as he's coming at her, which kind of scares the crap out of her. And she goes to pull away, but the boys won't let her. They grab her hand and hold tight and just push in some more until Donald is a bubbling, gurgling mess of blood on the floor. So now
And then she's like, I didn't mean
Willow is
to. I didn't mean
definitely
it.
complicit in all of this.
And she's fucking freaking out. She said, I didn't mean to do that. I didn't. Like, it was just.
And then Lysander, the favorite nutcase of this whole bunch, gets out his phone and he's all like, smile, and takes a picture of her. And he's like, you always have to celebrate the milestones. We need a photo of your first kill.
Oh, this
And
man
I'm
is
just,
so unhinged.
he's so
Great.
unhinged. And they're all kind of like, what are we gonna do? Like, her blood is all over this scene. Like, we were careful, obviously, because we're not idiots, but her blood is everywhere.
She is an
Like,
idiot,
the only
is
thing to
what
do
they're
is
getting at.
kill her, right? And
Oh, man.
Lysander and Azrael is like, no. And they're giving her instructions. They're like, when they ask, you tell them that you don't know us, nor where we're from. And they're like giving her little instructions on what to do when she wakes up. She's like, when I wake up, like, what the fuck? Like, it'll be very easy to make it all make sense if you're drugged. No, I can pretend being drugged. No, you can't,
No, you
darling.
can't.
No, you
And then
can't. You can't
out like
even
a light.
pretend to steal from people. And
And so,
oh,
funny
bye.
story. This was the part of the story where I'm like, that was the main.
The climax, yeah.
The what? And this was 30% of the book. And I'm like,
Yep.
where do we go from here? Because the main big
I
thing from the
also
story, I was like, what the fuck is going to happen now? Like,
had those thoughts and feelings, and also the fact that there wasn't any romance really thus far, just some tension.
yeah.
And I'm like, that's only 30%. Like, where's this gonna go? Like, is this gonna, like, what? Yeah.
Yep. And
Yep.
this was
Yep.
also when I thought that the romance was going to ruin the book. So there was me. I was
So
into the story, but yeah, I was like, I where the fuck do we go from here, guys? Don't worry, we'll tell you. It's our
before
job.
I was sorry, I was trying to get in before we ranted, but you were like so quick to want to
Sorry.
rant. So as Lysander was slipping the needle into her, he's like, I suppose this is goodbye, Willow Carlyle. Like, too bad you're so far from home. We can't watch her some more. So yeah, anyway, Will wakes up in the hospital to an officer there asking some questions. But he o doesn't only have questions about the murder scene she was just extracted from, but he also has some other questions regarding the copious amount of batteries in her backpack that were found in the car
And the
at
money.
the cafe. Well, they're not really that curious about the money because clearly most of it has been stolen.
Well, that's what I'm saying. She's pissed because they said it's a
Yeah.
couple $100. And she goes, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, a
Someone
couple
stole
hundred
my money.
dollars. And a backpack full of batteries. And it should have been thousands and thousands of dollars.
And still a sh boatload of
Boatload of
batteries.
batteries. Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
And
I
they're
just
like,
really like batteries.
and he's, we've had this weird thief that's just going around stealing batteries. Do you know anything about that kind of thing?
Calling her out without calling her out at the same
Yeah.
time, because this woman's clearly in the hospital.
Right? Yeah. So her mother visits her in
I
the
hate this
hospital.
bitch so much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Her mom is a cunt,
Yeah, she's
okay?
awful. And she basically walks in and is like, well,
She's like, I'm
you're moving
sorry I
in with
couldn't
me.
come sooner.
You're moving in with me now. She feels like she now has the ability to turn this situation where her daughter has clearly been traumatized and she could be more malleable to her and be able to mold her into the daughter that she wants. Well, she's kind of like zooming in at the right exact spot. It's like when the orthodontist asked us to come back at a specific year and month to get braces put on because they want to pinpoint the exact perfect point to have braces to have the maximum effect.
I like the fact that you're comparing this woman
so that's
trying to emotionally manipulate her daughter into braces for your teeth.
Yeah. Right. So that's what this, but that's what this woman is. She's taking this moment because that's going to have the maximum effect of her being able to, nope, you're coming home now and I'm going to be able to mold you into the daughter I want. We're going to get you out of the Humane Society. We're going to get you a real job. I'm going to turn your life around.
She also was like, you can't go back to your apartment you shared with your dead roommate. I already talked to my therapist about this. She agrees that you'll need a supportive environment for a while, and I'll take care of you moving all your stuff. You've suffered a trauma. She just continues going on about this therapist, and then she switches it up because, you know, obviously Will's fighting back, and she goes, the police asked me about your activities. Did you know that? They found a backpack in your seat with batteries. Then she turns it on herself and she goes, do you know what the people in my office would think of me? So she is really turning it into an issue for herself and how she looks in front of her friends and the people she works with because she sucks. This mother fucking sucks. Hate her.
So with her mother's visit and telling her she wants her to move back home, and that she's going to set her up with her therapist and how she's going to micromanage her life. And she's like, I want none of that. That kind of pushes her in the direction of, I want to kind of get out of town. And that plus the fact that the cops are questioning the battery situation, she feels all this pressure to kind of just get a break. And she's like, why not go to Chicago and find more about this situation, get some answers.
And that's the smart answer.
So she packs up her vehicle and gets her stuff going. She checks in at work before she goes. And she finds out that those dogs that she had helped rescue were adopted. So she's super happy about that. So Ashley's mother had pulled into the driveway just as she was finishing packing her car.
This woman is a saint.
She sees and she empathizes with Will's need to kind of get a break from all of this. And she's like, let me repack your car for you so that it's going to fit right. And she works out a deal with the landlord so that she can get the rent back so she can have money to go somewhere with. And like,
she, and not she's even like, just her part of the rent. She got her Ashley's part of the rent back too. And she's like, the way that this woman handled it is like a mother to her.
Yeah.
And she's what like, her mother should be.
Let me know when you get there. Keep in touch. Like,
it was the sweetest moment.
So she ends up getting to leave and she makes it to Chicago and she kind of has a big letdown because she expected this grand road trip and grand adventure and then takes her only like 4 hours to get to Chicago. It took her less time to get there than she planned, but she's there now and she takes a page out of the boy's book and she decides to rent an Airbnb and she finds a really nice lady to rent to her and she gets a really good deal and she gets a really cheap rate if she decides to take it for 2 months. She's like, awesome. Sounds great. She remembers Lysander's name from the wallet, as well as Nikos and Reese from their passports, and starts like doing a deep dive, trying to find addresses for them. They are basically ghosts in Chicago, except there is one listing for an address for Lysander. So she goes to check it out. When she gets there, this street is not the greatest part of town, and it's filled with some kind of rough looking people, and there's this old man sitting on the stoop of the address that she goes to, and she kind of tries to talk to the old man a little bit, and it doesn't really go well. They're interrupted by a detective stopping by, and she gets a really weird vibe from the detective. And he seems to want more information about the fact that she's even on the street and looking for these people to begin with than the fact that he would be even helpful or to aid her whatsoever. It's just a really weird situation. So she gets out of there, but she takes great care to make sure that the officer doesn't see what vehicle she gets in, and like totally skeevy vibes. So she decides to do what she does best, except not really, and decides to break into the house that the old man was at. And when she gets there that night to break in, She's successful in getting in, but the house seems kind of deserted. It's kind of weird. She finds all these weird pictures in the bathroom and decides to pocket them. And she's kind of scoping out this like empty place. She's caught by none other than Nico. So super weird. He sees the pictures hanging out of her pocket and he takes them and he goes, "Don't go around stealing shit from dangerous people. You can leave the way you came. I'll give you a 5-minute head start, and you better not be sneaking around outside when I get there." And she does not have to be told twice, and she gets the fuck out of there. But on one of those photos, the only one she happened to see, all the photos were of the boys, by the way, was them at a restaurant and had the name of the restaurant on it. So, silly girl, she decides to stake out the restaurant for the next several days.
Because that's a smart thing to do.
Nico just
Because
told
that's
you basically,
rational.
Nico basically just told you, like, you need to mind your own business and get away from here. You don't want to be caught by us. And then she's like, I'm gonna stake out the restaurant.
She's like, bet.
So obviously she's caught and they basically stage it for her.
No.
They have
I thought she
Reese
was so
and
good at being
Nico
so.
like pretending to be on a date across the street where Lysander and Azriel are like behind her, like mocking her, like spying on them.
Throwing shit into her drink.
It's kind of really funny. And they're like, if you have a question, can you just ask us instead of this whole elaborate setup? But they're the ones with the elaborate setup, just saying.
Because she was clearly trying to be sneaky and being elaborate, so they're fucking with her.
Right. Oh, absolutely. And she's like, why did they do it? I just want to know why Ashley got killed.
He pretty much was like, you're not going to like the answer. And literally the reason is because she was their type. That's it.
Yeah, and
No
that they're bad
reason.
guys. That they're bad guys. Yeah, they wanted her. There was no rhyme or reason. Like, you're not gonna get like a good reason. They're like, don't look for us again. Like, just go back and do what you're doing, and it's best for you to just distance yourself from us. Like, it's not good for you here to be around us. Just don't look for us again. So she kind of does. She goes off and does her own thing. She's got her Airbnb paid up for 2 months. She's gonna do her thing. But you can never have too much money, especially when you're just living off nothing. So she decides to pickpocket this dumbass dude in front of her while they're walking down the street.
And the thing is, Chicago is legitimately nothing like her small fucking
Right.
town.
So
You
when
should
she
probably pay
finds,
attention to who you're pickpocketing, you
right.
dumb
So when she
bitch.
finds this man kind of alone in an alley, it's not really a target for her, even though she thinks it is. So she decides to pickpocket him, except she gets Uno reversed. And she gets pickpocketed as well. And they're kind of like, oh, trade. But instead, he's like, oh, stab, and fucking stabs her in the shoulder. And he's
Yeah.
like, that's what you get for hanging out with the pack. And she's like, what? And he's like, don't lie. And then from behind them, Lysander, she's not. And pop. Lysander kills the guy in front of her, and she's like, whoa, he definitely is a murderer. Like, bitch, really? Really now?
It's living in our own
And she's,
world.
you need to bring me to the hospital. Like, I need a hospital, and like, I need help. And he's kind of like going through this weird mantra out loud of like convincing himself, yes, I'm going to help you. Yes. Yeah, I'm going to help you. And it's super cute, but you can tell the way he's doing it is so unhinged that he's convincing himself that his inner plan is not as deranged as it really is. And so when she wakes up again, this book took an odd turn that I was not expecting, but I was here for. Because when she wakes up again, she was chained to a wall.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, there.
So we're back in the basement of the last book. We're not.
Except we're on the second floor.
And it's actually in a really nice apartment. So,
Really nice
but
house, yeah.
yeah, house, whatever.
And she's chained to a wall. Her shoulder's all stitched up, and in walks Nico. Like, I warned you. Like,
I mean, he did.
maybe, yeah. And then he kind of teases her a bit, like, Here you are, so helpless. I could kill you, or I could kiss you, and there's nothing you can do about it. And she's like, are you going to? And he's like,
she was thinking the killing
kill
part.
Her, right? And he's like, am I gonna what? I'm gonna slit your throat? She's like, no, I'm clearly falling over myself because I want you to kiss me.
And he's like, bet.
And he's like, okay, yeah. So then he kisses her. But I would not describe this as a kiss because he basically just eats her fucking face really aggressively, like bites her and shit. Like, that's all he does. But she's into it. And
that
but they're interrupted.
Pushes him a little bit over the edge.
They're interrupted because the dogs come in and she's so shocked to see them. And I'm just like, sigh. And Lysander comes in carrying her duffel bags. What the fuck? And because he went to her Airbnb and got duffel bags of her stuff. Could have left a long time ago if you didn't want this. You had fair warning. So she's kind of left to her own devices. She has enough chain. They make it very clear that she has enough chain to go through the entire top floor of the house. And that she has free rein up there. So she kind of holds herself up in the room, kind of like boycotting for a few days. And they kind of just like put meals outside the door. And she's kind of pissy about it. But then she gets bored because the rich pricks couldn't even spring for a TV in her cell. So she goes exploring. And she goes to look for paper clips to attempt to pick the lock of her cuff. And of course she's caught by Nico. And so then round two of him eating her face. And he kind of plays with her with this like letter opener because she also tried to find a weapon. And so she thought she was going to pocket a letter opener. And he didn't like that very much. So he just toyed with her and he found that she wasn't actually offended by the thought of sharp things playing with her. She liked a little knife play a little bit because, I mean, this book is called Playing with Knives.
There was not as much playing with knives in this book that the name would give you.
So yeah, but he really likes that went deeper than he was expecting. So that escalated quickly and he fucks her against the wall. And he's kind of like, Lysander's going to be mad. Made it clear he wanted you first kind of thing. And it was just kind of funny.
Yeah, it escalated real fucking quick.
Yes. So, yeah, next morning, Lysander is in her bed. He says he's not mad at her, but he also is like, you allowed Nico to have you first. Bad Will, tapping her nose like a dog.
So fucking unhinged,
and
so funny.
Tells her that they're not leaving that bed until he's ready and done with her. So then he fucks her. And neither one of them... None of the three of them actually seem to care about protection or condoms or birth control in any way. So who knows about that? I don't know. So then we actually meet who Uncle is. And Uncle is Uncle Liam. He is kind of the head of their like branch in Chicago, which we learn that they are kind of a mafia style like
gang.
Community.
It's like
mafia style kind of like gang in Chicago, but they call them packs under Uncle, and their little group of packs is under Uncle's rule. Their
all
Uncle
I have
Liam's
to say
rule.
Is the first time they mentioned the word pack way earlier in the book, I
you
was like,
this was
is
gonna
this
be...
gonna take another weird turn? What is gonna happen? Did not take the turn I thought was gonna happen because I
and
was
the uncle of the pack that they kind of spar with the most is setting up a meeting with them because of the whole Donald and David situation, which was part of that uncle's pack or one of his packs or what, however that works. It was weird. And Uncle Liam is basically like, it's a mandatory meeting. You're expected to be there. It's not optional. He's like, adults have responsibility, especially with high stakes careers like you do. And she's kind of like, I didn't think being a serial killer was a career.
And
he's
and they're
like,
confused. They're like,
do you really think that's what we are?
That's what it is.
I mean, yeah, we do kill people, a lot of people actually. But, you know, killing in our territory is one thing when it's warranted, you know, but like, It's not like we just go randomly kill people, like,
And
just
this
cuz.
Just, it's weird too, because I feel like she has gotten more and more stupid the further along the book we go in.
So,
and it's wild. Maybe she should have just stayed living with her mom at this point. And I fucking hate her mom.
She realizes that everyone knew about David and Donald's unhinged behavior and that they weren't following the like family rules. And she's kind of mad because she's like, you could have stopped them.
Yeah.
And they're kind of like, you can't be so naive about this.
Well, she can be, because she is.
And they're like, you need to look at us and see us exactly for what we are and decide that maybe, just maybe, there's a reason for all of this, and that there's a reason all of us let Lysander bring you home, or you can go back to making lockpicks and stealing letter openers for your escape plan. And she's just so confused. She's like, can you tell me what he meant? And Lysander's basically like, not today. Ask me again tomorrow.
Oh,
so they go to plan for this meeting, and she's left to her own devices. So, of course, she decides to pick the lock on her shackle. She frees herself, so she tries to leave. And she overhears them talking, and it kind of stops her for a second because Lysander's having some big feelings.
I mean, he is the one with the big feelings since the very beginning of this whole situation.
And they're kind of like teasing him about it, like, can't just expect her to feel anything for you if you keep her chained up, kind of thing. Then they catch her, obviously, trying to leave. And Lysander's all like, I could make you want to stay. It's not even her own line. She was just kind of saying what they were saying. She's like, you can't love me if you keep me on a chain. And Azriel's like, come to the meeting and then we'll bring you home. Like, we'll free you. Just come to the meeting first. And they're kind of like, no, but she's like, no, I'll go. Okay. So then we have the meeting. David's wife's there. The meeting is super boring for Azriel and Willow watching across the restaurant while the heads of the families are all chatting.
Azriel's so fucking funny.
Then she's kind of like, that's it. That's everything. But on the way out, she sees that David's wife has like these papers, and she saw one of their faces or something on it, on like hanging out of the pocket, and she decides to do what she does best.
She quote unquote trips, but this one goes a lot better
in the grand scheme of things. Yes, so she does. She gets the papers from this white lady's pocket because, you know, she's just a wife, don't you know? And turns out it's a contract hit on Uncle Liam. So good thing she got it. And Azriel brings her home to her Airbnb, and her and Azriel eavesdrop on her very loud neighbors fighting, and they multitask a little bit.
Well, Azriel is really pushing it.
And
you like this, don't you? You like knowing that you might get caught. She's like, no, I don't. And I'm like, okay, sure, Jan. Sure, you don't like knowing you're going to get caught. She is discovering all of the things she didn't realize she liked, though. So there's that.
Yeah, that's always cool.
You know?
And he's like, seriously, you'd think that eavesdropping was your kink or some shit. She's like, I just like being nosy.
But they don't bang.
No, he just plays with her. So he takes off. She goes to bed for the night and, you know, does her normal sleep until 2 p.m. sort of deal. So when she's woken up in the middle of the day by the door, she thinks it's the boys again because they already kind of gave her crap about sleeping through the day. So she thought it was them. And she's kind of like yelling like, no, I'm fine. I'm sleeping, kind of thing. Like,
go away.
Right. You know, this is how I am. Just leave me be, kind of thing. But it's not them. It is Detective Yates at the door. This is the same detective who was at the address that she originally went to looking for Lysander in the shady part of town that she got a bad vibe from. But he introduces himself as Detective Yates. And he has some questions for her regarding these gentlemen. And he wants her to come down to the station to have a chat. She's like, no at first, but then like he's really pushy about it. And she's like, fine. So she's there for hours and hours before he even walks in. And it took him so long to get in there because he couldn't find the files he was looking for. He was all grumbly about having to pull them from the back bottom of somewhere. and
probably
he's in ter-
where you shouldn't get them from, you dumb piece
right
of
and
shit.
they're old files of Lysander, Asriel, Nico, and Reese from when they were young, and he is trying to interrogate her about them and why she hasn't been home in a week. And it's so suspicious.
Bitch, it's none of your business.
Right. All of a sudden, they're interrupted by his sergeant. And he's, like, very clear and adamant that this needs to end. The man is clearly terrified and shaking. And he's, like, over the top apologizing to her and, like, offering to bring her home and all this stuff. And she's needling him a little, like, oh, but if there's anything I can do to help you catch those murderers. No, please just leave. Clearly scared out of his mind. So she leaves. And Uncle Liam is waiting outside the station. It's time for the not so fun part, he tells her. What did you tell them? And she's, you know, nothing. And he kind of looks at her and she's like, seriously. He asked where I'd been for the week. And I told Yates that I'd been with some guy I went on a date with. I didn't tell him anything. And he's like, not even one little detail. She's like, I've been stealing for years. I've had to keep my story straight. When somebody asked me where I was, I can assure you I did not tell him anything about your boys. He kind of just kind of looks at her and he's like, you need to take a break. Take a break, Will. 2 days. Don't text them. Don't invite them over. See how you feel at the end of those 2 days. He just wants to kind of prove to her that the obsession is both sided. He wants to make her realize that she's as deep as they are.
Yeah.
But she doesn't quite realize that.
Not smart.
No. So she decides, sure, I'll take a break. And the first day goes fine. She sleeps through the first day. She sleeps the whole day away because she was interrupted by Detective Yates and she's like, fuck this shit. So the second day, she goes to get something to eat because she hasn't eaten and she's finally hungry. And while she goes, she's, you know, going for a walk and she sees behind this fence on this property, this cat severely like wounded and not doing well. And I don't think we mentioned before that one of the main things she loves to steal is other people's animals that they mistreat.
We did not mention that because her love of batteries kind of superseded everything.
Yes. But because, well, ugh. And this is the first time she's really actually acted upon it. It was just mentioned. But yes, she actively talked about in the beginning how she loves to, or it's a passion of hers to steal animals from people who don't deserve them or mistreat them, which, okay. So she cannot just walk by this cat. So she scales the fence, grabs the cat, and gets back on the street. And the cat is worse than she thought. She's afraid this cat is going to just die in her arms. And she doesn't know what to do. And it's still day number two, but she doesn't know who else to call. She calls Asriel because they have the dogs now. They must have a vet, and asks for the vet they use so that she can take this cat somewhere safe. So she breaks the 2-day rule. And Asriel, that's fine. Gives her the name of vet. It's important. She did the right thing. And Asriel gives her the name of his vet, tells her how to get there. She's like, I stole a cat. And when she gets there, the vet's office is waiting for her. Asriel called ahead. They are ready and rolling to get her all set up. He even pre-authorized his account for her so that everything's prepaid for her on his card, on him. The cat needs surgery. And if the cat is not microchipped, the vet wants to know if she'll take him. She says yes. Everything's all set. And the cat should be ready in about a week or so if a surgery goes well. Asriel does not want her to repay him. He's like, that's silly. It's just like a drop in the bucket for me kind of thing. And she goes, fine, I'll take it as a birthday present. He's like, it's your birthday today? No, it's tomorrow. Okay, bet. And so, yeah, her birthday rolls around. And she's trying to do what she does best on her birthday and sleep the day away. But Lysander, no, this, what happens?
I know, but we have mentioned her sleeping the day away like 10 times.
But they talk about it like every single chapter.
But we don't have to preface every sentence with she's going to do her favorite thing, sleeping the day away, because I think we have determined that at this point. Okay,
but it matters with what comes next, because Asriel and Lysander are waiting for her.
They've been waiting. Sleeping.
They've been waiting for hours for her to wake up, and they're very frustrated that she's wasting her birthday sleeping. And they're like, what, you don't like your birthday? And she's kind of like, not really. Like, it's not that fun for me. So I'm just, you know, I'd rather sleep. And they're kind of frustrated because they've literally been sitting in her apartment since the morning waiting for her, which, bitch, then you should have woken her up.
Also, my birthday, I just want to sleep too.
And then why did they
and
just
if
get
you don't
with
like
her?
Your birthday, you don't want to do things on it.
Right. So, like, cool. Maybe they should have contacted and asked her. They were kind of kind and let her sleep until she felt the stairs and she woke up. So it's cool because she's happy that they're there. But there's her mother calling again. Lots and lots of mother calls. And the phone just keeps ringing and ringing. And Lysander's like, put it on speakerphone.
And they don't know how bad this is, like, because they've seen the text messages before, because I believe didn't Lysander have her phone at one point? It was seeing, like, some of the texts come in. But they've never heard the mother speak. So they're about to get a front row seat.
They're not happy. And they can't help but take the phone and go, sorry, but Will can't come to the phone right now, or for the rest of the day, or tomorrow. Hell, how about you let her call you?
I'm going to be honest. My brain throughout this whole thing was just thinking, I'm click. Sorry. Can't come to the phone right now. Why?
She's dead.
That's all I thought of when I read that line. And I was like, that's a missed opportunity.
So they decide to take her out for lunch. And now that she knows what they are, clearly it's been kind of ruminating in her mind. She is kind of like, what would you have done if you hadn't just let me go that day? What would you have done if you had outed me breaking into your Airbnb that day?
Which is playing with fire.
And they're kind of like, what do you mean? Like, kill you kind of thing? I'm like, well, no. Like, what would you have done? And they're like, why don't you tell us what you've been thinking about?
This was the most uncomfortable thing I have ever read in my life. Because of how she's describing it, she was uncomfortable. And so I felt uncomfortable. And I'm like, bitch, you need to just say it.
So she basically
like,
tells,
I want you to fuck me.
She basically wanted them to all take turns with her. And it's like it was a fantasy or whatever. So they go home and they act out that fantasy with all four of them taking turns in Reese's bed.
Well, they have to already be there for when Reese gets home.
Right. They thought that would be the best way to entice him. So,
but are they wrong?
She's all, nope. So she's all happy with that and all like smug in her little birthday orgy. So that the next time we see her is a week later. And she's being accosted by Detective Yates yet again.
Hate this motherfucker. Yeah. So fucking much. He sucked.
He is staking out the restaurant that she was staking out when she first came to Chicago. So she wasn't expecting to find the boys there. She was just getting something to eat. But I guess that's what Detective Yates was doing. She tried to avoid him, but he spotted her. And
man needs to get fucked.
He's kind of like, one day you're going to need my help getting out of a situation.
Well, one day you
if
can
you
go
keep
fuck
looking
yourself.
For them. And I hope I can help you more than you've helped me when that day comes. And so she kind of books it out of there and she goes to go back home. And there's this like weird guy near her apartment. He just kind of starts yelling at her. He's like, Emily was my aunt. So she gave up the paperwork to them. The boys and Uncle Liam took care of that situation and took care of everyone involved in that situation, so to speak. So this guy's yelling behind her. He's like, Emily was my aunt. She's like, I don't know anyone named Emily. And he's like, did you give them the contract? No one was actually going to go after them. And she's like, I don't know what you're talking about. He's like, you're fair game. Maybe they'll be hard enough to do something stupid, something my boss can't overlook. And she's just like, leave me alone. And I don't know what you're talking about. And he's like, you don't? And you really should have picked better friends. And he picks up this piece of wood lying on the side and starts swinging it at her. Now, she got this fancy knife from Nico for her birthday that she's been carrying around on her. And she doesn't want to hurt this man, but he's swinging a freaking wooden beam at her. And he ends up catching her across the face with it. And he's like, "I hope it was worth it. It will be for me when I see the looks on their faces to find you fucked up and dead." And then so he goes and grabs the thing and goes to like smash it into her head. And so she takes the knife and kind of like does one of these moves where she just drives it up at him, like in defense, once again, like the Donald situation. Only this time, unlike Donald, he didn't just kind of fall over and gurgle with blood. Sure,
Going.
he choked and stumbled backwards for a second, but then he went after her again to take the knife from her. So she just kept slashing and like cut his face, but he still didn't stop. And she's just like telling him, like, "Just leave me alone." But he's still going and going. And he doesn't stop until she ends up like getting the blade right in his throat. And then he has to stop because
Yeah. And
he's dead. And she's like, "You should have stopped."
she's like having a moment, like he wouldn't stop. It's weird too, because when she killed the fursuit Donald, like she's kind of shocked. Honestly, throughout this whole book, she's very shocked at the lack of feelings that she has of anything. When her roommate died, she was kind of surprised she didn't feel as sad. And then killing Donald, she kept waiting for it to like kick in, like, "Oh my God, I fucking killed somebody," but it didn't really happen. And then now again, it also didn't happen. That should tell you something, lady.
So she's panicking. She got this dead body. She's covered in blood. She doesn't know what to do. So she calls Nico, who's the one who gave her the knife. So Nico and Reese show up to help her. And Nico right away goes to go grab the body. And Reese is like, No. Every member of my pack cleans up their own messes. And she has to be the one to carry the body into the trunk and bring it to the morgue and the whole thing. So then they go and head back to their house to burn her clothes, take a shower, and the rest of the boys have to go out and, do their work. But Reese finally has time and energy to give her some attention.
And he's so nonchalant about it too. He goes, "I have time."
So he shows her his own brand of kink that he likes to have for her and dominates her a little bit on the couch. And then is basically like, "Come to my room so that we can do it again." The only problem is that they are both woken up a little while later with a problem. Lysander has been taken, and they're getting dressed quickly, trying to figure out what's going on, when all of a sudden Uncle Liam busts into the house too, and he's like, "We have a problem." Like, "Yeah, we know. We're trying to, like, Detective Yates is almost here. He's coming to arrest you, Reese." That's a different problem. Apparently, he finagled some judge from far away to sign off on this. And like, he's really trying to get this to work.
I mean, realistically, the only way he can get it is to get a judge not inside the city limits once he's out of
So,
Chicago.
exactly. So, Detective Yates comes to arrest Reese. Asriel and Nico go to see if they can free Lysander. And Uncle Liam and Will go off to the police station to try to free Reese, because they know they're going to need Reese for Lysander. He is their leader of their pack.
Yeah, Reese's big boss man.
He's the boss man. So Uncle Liam is basically like, "Will, you need to stay in the car," and he goes in to handle things. And
Do we think that Will's gonna stay in the car,
she
folks?
stays in the car for a while. She tries real hard, but then she kind of gets bored. So she like gets out of the car to stretch a little bit. And she sees in the alley next to the police station the back door open. And she sees Reese being shoved out the back door. She's like, "Oh, thank goodness, finally, like they're coming." Except it's not Uncle Liam that is shoving Reese out the door. It's Detective Yates, and Reese is still chained up. And he is shoving him into a transport van and hooking him up to the van and is explaining how he's going to get him out of the city so that he can have him rot and be on death row faster and be done before anyone can get him out. she's like, fuck. And so he goes back inside to get something. So she runs over and starts trying to pick Reese's lock. Reese's like, what are you doing here kind of thing? But she's like, shut up. And she tries to start picking Reese's lock to free him because she always keeps her trusty lock picking kit with her, don't you know? Of course, it takes a little longer than she thought. So Yates comes up behind her with his gun, like, hello. And he kind of disregards her as a threat and kind of just takes the picks away and goes to unhook Reese's chain so that he can put him where he belongs because he was just putting him there temporarily. And while he's doing that, she takes her knife that she also has on her because Nikos makes sure she keeps a knife on her and makes the conscious decision to stab somebody who is not in self-defense and stabs him in the back of the neck.
Cop, no less.
A cop. And he's like, what have you done? You're not like them. And she's like, I am, though. Don't you see? I think I was always like them. Just a little. And maybe all it took was them to show me what I am.
By fucking you? Is that how that happened?
He's like, they're monsters. And she's like, then maybe I am too, if that's what that means. So bye-bye, Detective Yates.
This girl full-ass kills a cop. And guess what? She feels nothing again.
Nope. Bye-bye.
But at least this time she was smarter and she was wearing all black. It's easier to clean. And Uncle Liam's like,
Uncle Liam comes out. And, right. Like, you were supposed to stay in the car. What the fuck? So now they have to, you know, take care of Yates' body, blah, blah, blah. So then they head off to extract Lysander and join the boys. And Uncle Liam's like, she should stay. She's not like us. And Reese is kind of like, are you sure you're seeing her? I mean, because she's sitting there like covered in blood, like she just killed Detective Yates. Like, we've seen the same person here. And like, she can come kind of thing. And he's like, give her your spare gun. So now Will has a gun. But then they hear gunshots from inside. And now they're both like, stay here. Because apparently none of that matters when now there's gunshots going on. So Will decides to find her own way into the building. And she goes to the back and finds a locked back door. And so she decides to pick the lock on the back door of this warehouse where gunshots are going off. It's all weird. So she picks the lock just in time to have these two men barreling towards her. And they're all kind of like, I thought that door was locked. Dumbass.
I mean, okay.
Yep. And she hears one of them call the other one Andy, which is the person that she knows that took Lysander. So she's like, no. You're not going anywhere, and pulls her gun out on them. And the other guy that's not Andy is like, I'm fucking out of here, and books it. Because, you know, she's got her gun trained on Andy. And Andy's like, you're not going to fucking shoot me. Like, who the fuck do you think you are kind of thing? And she just shoots him in the leg. He's like, what the fuck? She's like, get up or I'm going to shoot your other one. You're going to take me to him now. She kills
one cop.
Let's go. She's like the mirror of fucking bravery.
Let's do this shit.
Yeah. And so he leads her inside. The boys are there like gunning people down. And like they've clearly secured the scene here. Lysander's not doing so well. But the boys have clearly secured the scene. And Azrael's like, well, just look what our newest puppy brought home. Do you know who this is, Will? And she's like, yeah, duh. Like, I'm the one who brought him to you. Fucking. And they're all kind of like, do you want to kill him, Will? It's your choice. He's the one who started this whole thing with your roommate and all this stuff. And like, it's your choice. And she's, yeah, I do. And she fucking kills him. So yeah, that's kind of where this book kind of mostly ends. We have another chapter where a new detective is interviewing her at her new place of residence because she has moved in with the boys. He's the replacement for Detective Yates, and he's interviewing her regarding Yates's murder. And they have a prime suspect. They're just trying to close it out. It's Andy that did it, don't you know? And it's then
because the cops are paid off by the pack.
Oh yeah. And then when the detective leaves, she kind of gets a little snarky because they're kind of like, Reese, are you going to do it? Are you going to do it kind of thing? And he brings out this little box and she's like, is it a key? Like, are you finally going to give me a key to where I live so I can stop stealing Nico's key? Nico's kind of like, what? And, which kind of doesn't fit with the rest where they know what she's doing at all times, but whatever. It's not. It's a ring, and it's the pack ring that they all wear. And he says, as far as I'm concerned,
Think
you're
it's
part
funny.
of
She goes,
this
"Are
family
you
now.
proposing? I'm not fucking proposing."
He's like, as far as I'm concerned, you're a part of this family now. And that is how this book ends. We get an epilogue that is 2 weeks later where they visit her mother and basically say goodbye to her and be like, you're a bitch.
She also introduces them as her boyfriends.
And then they go off to commit murder and theft together. So that was Playing with Knives.
Oh, and also we get an MM scene in the epilogue.
Kinda, yeah. I wanted more, but yeah.
Yes, we'll get there.
So yeah, so this book was not what I was expecting. I definitely think that things could have been edited out of it, or it could have been
Longer.
originally displayed as a duet and made longer with more details and more of their romantic journey in there so that it made sense. Because, like you said, you could have taken that part out and
Been
it
fine.
still would have,
It's been
right?
great.
There seemed to be kind of a disconnect on some level between that and some of the other stuff. But
I think for
I
me,
enjoyed, okay, I enjoyed this book.
yeah.
I just thought there could have been editing. Like, it was long for what it was.
See, I was cool because I have read books that are similar, but I think where my issue lies is the description of the book kind of
Did
made it
not
feel
match,
like
right?
there was going to be more of the romance
Romantic. Yeah. And I
involved
didn't get
than there
that.
was. Because if I had just read the description and there wasn't really a whole ton
Well,
of
and I think
focus
that's
on
the
the romance,
thing.
then it would be cool.
I think that's my problem. That's why I meant edited out or made a duet and had more of that romantic side. Because
See, I just think that if they the
I
description had
liked
been
all the
changed.
fun stuff and I liked the mystery and the mafia stuff, but it was like we said, that main stuff from the blurb was done by 30%.
Right.
And
So
then it was like, oh, where are we going? It's like
I
oh,
think
let's go
that's
here.
what I think that's what I would prefer is if the description was changed. So if the description was changed, I would have gone in with different expectations, and the way that it was written would have been fine for me. But I have also read books that are similar to this, but the description has made it known that the romance is not taking
The front seat,
the front
right.
seat. And I think that's where the disconnect comes is it seemed like the
I went
romance was
into
going to
it
be
thinking it was a romantic, right,
right.
prime.
And I think that if we had gone into it knowing ahead of time,
It
that's
would
not
have
the
been a
case. It
different
would have been
mindset.
different. We probably wouldn't have think, oh, it needs to do this because
But as it is, thinking the romance is the front seat, it needs to either be edited down
correct.
or expanded.
Yeah, so it's either do that or change the description to temper expectations a little bit. Other than that, like this is something I like these kinds of books. I'm
I was into it.
still searching for a romantic comedy spy novel where the lady has no idea
Was
what's
into
going
it.
on.
I have no idea how this bitch isn't pregnant, but I was into it.
Maybe she can't have kids. You ever think about Ariel?
We should have made that known though.
I'm just saying. It
I
doesn't
know.
matter. I don't even care about that. That is not, I don't even give a shit. I
I care
literally,
about the
I
details.
know you do, but when it comes to that for me, I don't even think about it. Even when I'm reading other, I literally not even in the forefront of my mind.
Yeah, see, details matter to me a
Maybe
lot.
because like throughout a lot of my 20s, I didn't think that way.
The lack of action, like romantic action for me, was a problem. The lack of MM action and MMF
Yeah,
action
the
was a
fact that
problem
they
for
didn't
me.
give, so it's funny too because it even says MM and then MMFMM, and
Right, and I
I
feel like I
reading
didn't
it, I was
get
like, did
that.
we
I feel like,
though?
no.
Because
Yeah, we got bits and pieces, sure, but it was like a tease. It
it
wasn't.
was more so her with individual ones, but not really a group together. And then the one time that they were
And
all in
but it was
together, it
super
wasn't
glossed
really.
over, yeah, and it was
Yeah.
not.
And then the fact that the MM scene was literally in the epilogue kind of.
And again, glossed.
Right, kind of felt
Yeah.
like a slap in the
The
face.
group scene was probably the best and the longest, but again, it wasn't all of them
There
working
was no sword
together.
crossing.
No.
So there's that.
Who was your favorite character?
I want to say Reese. I just liked him.
I also liked Reese.
This
I
was cute.
liked to read Lysander. But I don't think that he was my favorite
Lysander
like
was so funny.
character, but he was probably my favorite to read. But I liked Rhys
He
as a
is
character.
the stereotypical golden retriever of the group.
Yeah.
In every group, you have to have one when it
Who's your
comes to.
least favorite character?
Oh, wait, you know who else would have been my other favorite character? Ashley's mom. I loved her.
Yeah.
She was so
Yeah.
sweet. Lee's favorite character, obviously, her
Yeah.
mother sucked.
I'm going to go. Yeah. Yeah.
You can't
Her mom.
bully your child into therapy with your therapist because you're worried about your image.
Ratings.
Bitch. So Amazon gives this a 4.4 and Goodreads gives this a 4.1. Where are you sitting?
I gave this 4 stars.
I did too. I really liked it.
I rated 4 stars for all the reasons I already said. I wish there was more. Actually, I really liked all the different stuff going on, and I really liked
I just
the...
wish it was more expanded. So I do feel like they
I would
have put this as a duet. I do wish it was. I think that I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I wanted more, and I wanted them to expand more on their relationship.
Maybe more. Yeah.
So, listen.
Bummer, but I mean, it wasn't
it
bad.
It is a bummer,
but
it is what it is. But
still,
it was still
4 stars.
Really good.
Yeah, we enjoyed.
So,
yeah. Cucumbers.
I'm probably going to go 4 because I wish everything was more.
I honestly feel the same.
Nice. Is there anything else? Do we want to see if March Madness continues?
See if March continues to be dark.
We're all mad.
March Madness. We are all mad. We see March Madness could be many things.
In our case, it's books. So.
I meant madness could be many things.
Alrighty, so Wheel of Fate. Let's spin this and see how the next part of March goes.
Wheel of Fate.
Here we go. Let's see what we got. Gonna be the Cruel Duke. I think that was one of mine.
Oh, that was your Regency book.
It was. Alrighty. So The Cruel Duke is a historical Regency romance novel, and it is by Sally Vixen. What a name.
That's kind of cool. That's funny.
Right? Everyone calls him a monster. To salvage his reputation, Duke Edwin must do something he never thought he would: re-enter society and claim a bride. Joanna would do anything to help her sister, even marry the cruel Duke in her stead. This marriage of convenience seems doomed from the start until Edwin tastes Joanna's lips for the first time and his frozen heart comes to life.
The taste of your lips.
On a ride.
Your toxic
abs. So join us next week. With a Regency romance, we're switching it up.
Maybe
a little.
He's a March Madness Duke. Maybe he's a mad Duke like
he
George.
He is a cruel Duke. So
but maybe he's a mad Duke like George.
I don't know.
Maybe.
George was a fucking treat.
Maybe this is a treat too.
Okay. So with that, please join us next week when we read The Cruel Duke by Sally Vixen.
And as usual, make sure to keep reading.
And keep it smutty.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, fuck.